Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Well, I have to be honest, I'm really happy to be here.
With me? Because I'm here?
Well, no, I'm not happy to be here with you. I'm just happy to be here. You know, yes, we did the show last Thursday. We did not do the show last Wednesday. So many people might not have known we did the show on Thursday. And many people might not have known that I almost died.
You did almost die.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to tell everyone what happened?
It was crazy. Well, first and foremost, I will get to it. Scheduled on today's show, smiling Sam Alvey right around the corner. Bottom of the hour, Gerald Meerschaert. He's been on before. Looking forward to the return of someone.
Okay.
Houston Alexander, but there's kind of a backstory.
Okay.
So I'll wait to kind of say that when he comes on in the second hour. And then Chris Camozzi down in Fort Lauderdale for PFL this weekend. So he'll be on. Last Wednesday, I was on an early flight from Tampa to Charlotte, Charlotte to Gulfport. Kind of minding my own business, sitting in my seat. We get to Charlotte, transfer over to the little puddle jumper, I think they're called. Two seats, you know,
sure,
not the 3Bs or, you know, not the super ones with 3-3 or 3-6-3. This is just 2-2. So I'm sitting there, aisle seat, lot of BKFC people on the plane as well. And 25, 28-minute delay on the runway, which is Charlotte, which is kind of normal.
Okay.
And finally, we take off. And I'm minding my own business. I'm listening to music. And Steve Linnae kind of taps me. And I'm like, what? He goes, you didn't hear that? I didn't hear what? We're turning around. We don't have enough gas, enough fuel to get to Gulfport. And I'm almost fuming. I'm like, how do you leave an airport with not enough fuel to get to the next? Now, I understand that, you know, they have it down to a science. They don't want to land with too much fuel, too heavy, too this, too that. But what I found strange was the fact that we were only in the air no more than 10 minutes.
Right.
After I found this out, we were in the air 25 minutes returning.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
We're
returning. We're only 10 minutes out.
Right.
It should only take 10 minutes to go back.
So they're circling.
Well, what they're doing, and I didn't know that, is they were dumping fuel.
Oh, makes sense.
There was probably 5 or 6 fire trucks, at least 50 firemen standing by at the crash site.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, it was crazy.
That has to be a crazy feeling.
And when you know you're going to another, you know, runway, it is definitely crazy. So I need something, even though it's a week later, to kind of lift my spirits up. So no better way to start the program than with the smiling one himself, Sam Alvey. Sam, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm sure you heard a little bit of that after last week's near crash. I'm doing fantastic. I'm live and I'm talking to you as we get ready for this weekend. How have you been? How's the family been since last time we spoke?
You know, honestly, my family, they moved to Tennessee like early June or early July, and I was supposed to be there the end of July. But then my fight got pushed till now, and so I really haven't seen my family for more than a couple hours about a week ago. So they're doing all right. I just miss them.
But you haven't seen them. Well, it is a little bit better. You know, I was going to say a couple of years. I'm many years older than you. So back when I was in the military, you know, you'd have to call home and do the over and, hey, I love you over. At least now you can FaceTime.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice. That's definitely going in my favor. But, man, I really want to hang out with them more.
Take care of business and get home on Sunday. What's fight week like for you now compared to maybe fight week, you know, 2-3 fights into your career? Is it the same? Obviously, you've learned how to get through the week better now, right?
You know, honestly, it's about the same. When I first, my first three, four fights, I was, I don't know, I just showed up and fought. There was no weight cut. There was no nothing. Now I've got a bit of a weight cut ahead of me. But other than the weight cut, everything's real comfortable. I pretty well. I work out as much or as little as I want to, and I just got to get to hang out wherever I am.
I've been waiting since I did the research late last night. I always try to pick one or two things to kind of talk to you guys about, and I'm very intrigued, and you'll find out why in a second. Give me your trumpet background. Give me some really good trumpet stories.
Yeah, so I tell everyone I was a semi-professional trumpet player, and what I mean is everyone else in the orchestra got paid. I just didn't. I did it for school credit. But yeah, I played trumpet for, two decades, about 20 years, something close to it. I was good. I was never the greatest at it. You know, I never got paid, so I must not have been that great. But I was good. And the only reason I stopped playing trumpet is because MMA started paying me $50, $60 a fight.
Or at least something. Well, I couldn't wait. I got to tell you this story. And typically I tell Matt, you know, it's not about you, but I think you'll get a kick out of this story. So I also played the trumpet in high school. Unfortunately, my brother, who I'm really not fond of then or now, we've never really gotten along very well, was probably the best trumpet player in the state. So my goal was to be the worst trumpet player in the state. You know, you can't compete, right? So go the other way. So the story that I remember vividly is we're at band practice, we're on the field, we're marching around, and the band director, and I don't remember many people's name, and ironically, his name was Sam also, Sam Hand. Sam goes, something's not sounding right. Let's do it again. They did it again. Still something's not sounding right. Just the trumpet section. And there was 16 trumpet players, so four people, as you know, in each squad. And he goes, you know, something's still not right. Just Benji's section, which is my brother's name. And, you know, my brother's blaring and stuff. And he goes, nah, I still don't like it. Let's do Benji's section without Benji. Well, the other three of us didn't know how to play. So we were faking the whole time as we're marching around as he's, playing. I always thought that pretty funny.
Oh, that really is funny. That's a big band, though. You said you had 16 trumpets in it?
Yep, 16 trumpet players. It was a very large school, a very large band, and, you know, we traveled the country and competed and all that kind of stuff, and I really never wanted to be in it, but I was made to be in it so that my brother could get the brand new trumpet. You know, he'd pass the piece of crap down to me, and then he got the good one. That's my good story.
You got a hell of a story out of it, too.
Yeah, well, the other one is we had flare guns, and there was four people in the band that shot the flare gun, and they still can't prove that I'm the one that shot the lady in the stands. This one flare went into the stands, and I swear it wasn't me. So that's why I wanted to ask if anything crazy, anything funny, and anything like that happened when you were in high school playing.
No, the one time at band camp story, I don't know if I have one of those particularly, but I do like that I was a semi-professional before.
I like that. I may have to steal that from you and use that down the road. Give me your thoughts on Panini now has taken over the UFC trading card business. Do you like them? Have you seen your Panini card yet by chance?
I didn't know somebody was taking it over. I have been getting tagged a lot in people that are getting my card and asking for autographs. So that must have been what happened. I'm always happy to sign anyone that sends it to me. I'll get it back, though. But I don't know anything about it. It hasn't affected me in any way.
Well, I'll take care of that for you. I will send an email to Tracy Hackler. He's the head of PR at Panini. And I'll get him to send not only some of your cards, but a box or two of cards that, you know, you and the family can open up and have a good time with.
Oh, that'd be great. My kids would be tickled with that.
I will take care of that as soon as we're done the show today. But let's talk about what's ahead on Saturday, UFC on ESPN. Give me your thoughts on your opponent, Wellington.
Yeah, so Wellington, he's been in the UFC not nearly as long as I've been. But he's been in there for a few years now, and he's a very game opponent. He hits hard. He's like a fighter. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so he probably a little better than me there, maybe. I'm a pretty good brown belt. But the experience just isn't there for him. I've got over 70 fights. This will be my 22nd in the UFC. And stylistically, it's a really good matchup for me. Really looking forward to stepping into the cage and getting back in that win column.
I'm sure that, you know, people have talked to you about it. I know that we've talked to you about the smiling portion. Has any of the opponents ever said how much it really bothers them that, you know, they're throwing bombs at you and you're just kind of smiling, having a great time?
No one's ever told me that. But what I do get all the time, I mean, like every opponent I've ever had is, oh, I'm going to knock his teeth out or punch his teeth in, or I'm going to knock that smile off his face. So whether they mean to or not, I know they're paying attention to it.
And I'm sure they've tried, but your smile never seems to get knocked off your face.
No, not unless Mark Goddard's my referee. with the exception of that, that smile's. I just love what I do. I love that people enjoy watching me when I do what I do.
So Sam, like, you know, I follow you on Instagram. I follow you all over. I know you're in the UFC and you always want to get to that number one spot in your division. But talk about making it to the number one spot on the superfan McGregor Rousey. Who is the most sexually active UFC fighter? Number one, Sam Alvey, just edging out a number two, Darren Till. And did you ever get your trophy?
I haven't gotten the trophy yet. It's probably in the mail. got to thank God first. I probably got to thank my wife. years of dedication and practice. It's got me to the top of this list, and I don't plan on leaving it anytime soon.
That's the best. Of course, my next question was going to be, you know, how do you relax? But I guess you just answered that.
Never. I'm always training. Always training to be number one.
There you go. What can the fans expect? Not necessarily from a Sam Alvey fight, but what can they expect from this matchup, from this fight on Saturday night?
You know what? I'm coming off a fight of the night. I'm coming off my last three fights were arguably fight of the night. I guarantee you this is going to be an of the night experience. It is either going to be a finish or the greatest fight anyone ever seen on the card. I have had just the longest camp in the world. I have not seen my family in close to 7 weeks, and I am ready to just get in there and destroy some folks. So I've got everything on the table. I'm holding nothing back, and it is going to be one hell of a fight.
I don't know if you just caught that, Matt, but he's looking forward to, you know, causing havoc to a hell of a bunch of people. Well, since he's only fighting one, he better hope Mark Goddard's not the referee. So there you have it. Well, Sam, as always, I appreciate your time. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong and a pair of earbuds from Jabra. Have a good time. I'm looking forward to talking to you after, so we can find out what it's like to go see your new home.
Oh, I greatly appreciate that, sir. And anytime you want me back, you just let me know and I'll be here.
We definitely will do it. Awesome. Sam, thank you very much. That is a smiling Sam Alvey back in the octagon this Saturday night, looking forward to it. And I can't wait for him to go see his new digs and everything in Tennessee. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the dungeon today, not the grave. I survived it.
You did survive.
So we're in the dungeon, not the grave, and you have not taken this show over just yet. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Tampa, Florida. Are you a fan of MTV's The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, October the 9th, you're going to want to be at Challenge Mania Live. It's at the Tampa Improv, and you can meet and hang out with Derek Kaczynski, Mark Long, Hisela Delgado, and more guests to be announced. Get your tickets at challengemania.live or at the Tampa Improv website. It's Challenge Mania Live, a pre-show meet and greet and a live panel talk show, just like a Challenge reunion show that doesn't suck.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hi, we are back. Kind of fitting a little Rolling Stones there as they just suffered a loss. As their drummer has moved on. And I don't want to make light of it, but didn't... everybody's always said that it's, you know, Keith Richards that should have died 30 years ago and probably will live another 60. So, you know, that rough life that Keith Richards allegedly, you know, is living and has lived.
Well, isn't that the way it works? I mean, the people that live to be 100 plus years old, they always ask them, what's your secret? Well, I drink a bottle of scotch a day, or I drink smoke a cigar every day, or, you know, it's like the opposite of what you think is healthy. And those people seem to outlast Father Time.
Well, no, I think it's the other way. Only, you know, as Billy Joel says, only the good die young. So, you know, I'm going to continue doing the things I do.
Yeah, for another 3,500 years.
I get $6.66 of gas every time I get gas.
See, why?
I do.
Really?
I literally do.
That's your thing?
It is my thing.
It's like the whole
it is my
666 thing.
It's not just that. You know, like I'll do.
You do it for shock value. You
no, I don't. This is the first time I've ever told anybody.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want anybody to know anything about me.
You don't go into the gas station like, give me $6.66 a gas.
No, I do it on the pump. All right, so somebody asked me earlier today what I thought of, and we don't need to necessarily say the name of the Buffett that we went to in Biloxi.
True.
But grade it. Where did you think it was?
Oh, like a 5.
Well, I was doing A, B, C, D, but...
Oh, I'll give it a D.
I give it a C+. Plus.
C, yeah.
I give it a C+. Plus.
I give it, yeah. I mean, it was a massive amount of food,
and that's all.
But right. but the quality, the was something to be desired.
The advantage of, and we went to an all you can eat, obviously crab. The one I really wanted to go to was crab and lobster. They're not coming back buffets anytime soon. And what I told the guy was that exact thing. The quality wasn't very good,
right?
But when I went to the other one before COVID, they would give you one lobster or 2 clusters, which is really a pound.
Sure.
I saw you carry a plate back to the table that had to have, and I'm not exaggerating, 6 pounds of crab.
I think the lady liked me.
She did it to everybody.
No. Nobody else had a 6-pound cluster.
A, yes, I did. And B, when I asked for horseradish and they said no, twice she went in the back and got it for me.
Well, that's because she's trying to get in through me.
She didn't know anything about that we were at the same table.
But everybody knows that you and I are together, Randy.
But the crab was decent. But it was better when you haven't had crab in a year and a half.
Yeah.
So,
and it's better when you come off of a near-death experience on a plane. Everything tastes better at that point.
All right. So a couple real quick venting stories as we have Gerald Mearshard coming up momentarily. So there's work being done down the street at my son's house. It's over a year that this project has taken for a job that most normal contractors could have done in 3 days.
Got it.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, you're right.
So I go down. We had to bring in a new roofing company to fix the mistakes.
Okay.
I always request that when contractors work on the property, that I don't allow smoking on my property.
Makes sense.
You know, for numerous reasons. Last time when they were smoking, doing carpet and stuff, they would go outside, they'd open the screen door, and they'd stand right by the screen door.
Right.
So all that crap would smell would blow back inside the house.
Right.
So they're down the street a couple days ago, and I said something to the owner of the company, who was a friend of mine, who said to the worker, hey, no smoking, blah, 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 do it across the street. So I walked down the street yesterday, the day before, and I catch him walking from the backyard to his truck. And we talked for a minute, and then I said, you know, really, I prefer the no smoking on my property. Didn't X say that to you? You know what he said?
Huh.
Yeah, he told me.
Oh, well, good. At least he acknowledged it.
Okay.
Well, acknowledgement's half the battle, right?
So he told you, but you didn't care.
Wow.
All right, so that's the jerk of me. How about this? If you know me, if anybody out in the radio world knows me, has listened to this show, I'm not a big Notre Dame guy.
You're not.
I don't really know why.
You don't like the leprechaun. You're not Irish.
Well, my wife is.
Oh, the McGregors, the McClellans of the world.
Well, don't bring the other in. And really, it's about the same. McClellan, McGregor.
We're from the same clan.
I like Notre Dame, though.
Well, why? Well, what changed your mind?
What changed my mind is a survey came out of the most offensive mascots.
Okay.
And Notre Dame came in at 4.
What's offensive about a midget leprechaun?
It's the fighting stance. It's your favorite fighting stance.
It's the aggressive, the bare knuckle, the old John L. Sullivan.
And I don't know if I want to bore you or anybody else, you know, with the entire response from Notre Dame.
No, don't do that. Just give us the top three above them.
Well, I will do that, but I'm trying to pull it up real quick. But basically, they said it's not offensive. It's really, that's the Irish, and if you don't like it, pound sand.
Yeah, pound sand.
I won't buy it, but I might wear a Notre Dame something.
What if McGregor buys Notre Dame and just shuts it down?
Yeah, McGregor don't have that kind of money.
He does have that kind of money.
No, he does,
and he could make it a distillery to make proper number 12. Right,
I thought
here,
he sold it.
Right here in the United States.
I thought he sold
it. Well, proper number 13 then.
Okay. Just proper whatever. We'll sell
that. Just add a number to it. It's the same thing.
All right. So a school that I also don't like, and I still don't like, and I know I'm going to get in trouble from the owner of our network. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, Lola's an Ohio State person, I believe.
Oh, Buckeye?
Okay. Listen to what Ohio State has come out with.
Okay.
Ohio State will not ban unvaccinated fans.
They will not ban unvaccinated fans.
Right.
Because anybody come in, no matter what your status is.
As long as you're a fan.
Got to be a fan of Ohio State. So you have to wear Ohio State
students,
gear.
Staff,
okay.
And faculty. I don't know the difference between staff and faculty, to be honest. But
okay.
Staff, faculty, and students have to be vaccinated or they can't get in.
Okay. So staff is probably people on payroll to do work. Faculty is probably teachers. Like,
so I'm going to assume.
So janitors, like electricians, like maintenance.
Why wouldn't you just say staff? Keeper. Everybody. Employees.
Team.
Employees.
Comfortable. So that's offensive or not offensive?
Well, no, we're past the offensive.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I thought the Buckeye was like something about the nuts.
I think that is offensive that he carries around too many Buckeyes.
to me.
You shouldn't be allowed to carry that many Buckeyes. We still need to talk about BKFC 20.
Yeah.
Johnny Bedford, an incredible knockout. But I happened to see something as I was – I did more research for this show than I think you – well, definitely more than you have. But, you know, more than we have in the past.
Because you got your wings.
Did you know that the Philly Fanatic, the Phillies and the organization that, drew up the original Fanatic went to court?
Really?
And I, I started to read it and I got bored. I stopped.
Don't do real research.
But exactly. But they changed the Fanatic.
To?
I don't know.
It's not the Fanatic right now?
Well, it's still the Philly Fanatic, but they changed the likeness of the original Fanatic. And I will find this.
Was it offensive?
Well, again, we're past.
Everything's offensive.
It's not that it's offensive. It was, I guess they didn't own the rights to it. So a federal magistrate judge has decided that changes by the Philadelphia Phillies to the Philly Fanatic mascot, this was last year, were sufficient enough to allow it to continue to use by the club. If I can find it quick enough, I want to tell you what some of these changes were. The Phillies unveiled a redesign of the green mascot, who my buddy was the original Philly Fanatic.
Your guy was
Dave Raymond.
Yeah.
One of the most disappointing things I've ever in my life was when I met Dave Raymond, and he told me he was the Philly Fanatic.
It's like meeting Santa Claus.
I thought it was real.
It's like meeting Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's like meeting Santa Claus. He's telling little kids in a dugout, I'm the Philly Fanatic. So a new look featuring flightless feathers.
Ah.
See, before the Fanatic had flight feathers.
Sure.
Now they're flightless feathers rather than fur-colored arms. Stars outlining the eyes, that's the change of the Philly Fanatic. Okay. A larger posterior and a powder blue tail.
Ah, makes sense.
Blue socks with red shoes plus a set of scales under his arms. That's the difference. Huh. I'm not sure anybody knew that they even made those changes.
Right?
How does that... I don't even know. I don't even know.
You were on a flightless bird last Wednesday.
Almost, yeah.
You survived. So,
well, maybe that flight wasn't flight. It was flightless. Maybe it shouldn't have gone up.
But aren't all the old mascots going to go away? I mean, the Indians, the Chiefs, I mean, all these iconic brands, they have to change for the current folk culture.
When we come back, we're going to have Gerald on first, and then I'll try to pull the list. And, of course, all the most offensive, you know, Florida State, all that stuff. So we'll get to that. And Gerald, and the second hour, and a whole lot more when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Benny Blaze from the University of Miami, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course, a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years, the Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Centre. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out very early each year, so make sure to purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at tuxestalestampa.com.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Cecil Fielder from Detroit, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
I guess I'm going to take one next.
What? They always pass away. And...
Well, they just lost a member.
Oh.
They was it about a week or two ago?
They go in threes, right, Randy?
Well, yeah.
You were supposed to be number three. You messed up the rotation.
I did mess it up. I don't want to go anywhere until the third media person, you know, somewhere in the country or in the world, some media person had to pass, right? Do you have to know about it, or can we just assume that it already happened?
It was like a tree falls in the woods. Nobody hears it. Did it really happen?
Exactly. Well, we saw a photo, so it does.
Yeah.
True. So a lot of stuff still to get to as we continue to prepare for this weekend. A lot of good stuff happening. As is the case every weekend, UFC back at it out at the Apex Center in Las Vegas. Let's welcome back to the program, Gerald Mearshard. Gerald, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate it. How have you been? It's been a little while since you've been back on the show.
I've been really good, man. Just like to say thanks again for the package you guys sent the last time. Those little pudding cup thing, cake things were gone in like a day. They were awesome, but I've been good.
Well, and the unfortunate thing about Wicked Good Cupcakes is, and I don't know if you know their whole backstory, that they were on Shark Tank, and Mr. Wonderful is good at investing and then getting the product sold. So Wicked Good Cupcakes sold for who knows how much to Hickory Farms. So they're no longer a sponsor, but you will be getting something just as cool, and we'll get to that here in a couple minutes. But thanks for remembering that. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
So we just had Sam Alvey on, and I do about a minute and a half of research, and I found out that he was in the band in high school, and he was a trumpet player. And then I found out that you're a saxophone player. So any thoughts of you guys like forming a UFC band?
He did ask me to do a duet. We still gotta figure out something to play together. But funny enough, I've known Sam for a long time. We actually fought each other twice on the local scene before we both got into the UFC. So we've been out around each other quite a bit.
Funniest, is there any funny band stories from back in the day? I just told Sam one. I'll tell you a different one in a minute. But anything that you remember that just was funny involving the band?
Oh, man. So my senior year, my poor teacher, she was a alumni of the high school that we were at. And, you know, we were seniors. We were on our way out. I was planning to become a music teacher. So she would let me take some of the younger, my younger classmates, and I'd have like a separate class, like an auxiliary class to kind of teach them how to work on soloing and like freestyling and everything. And I'd have one of my buddies help me. And pretty much what it turned into was like a 15-minute, you know, bit I would do to them about, or say to them how they, you know, need to learn how to do it with a partner, but it's fun to do it by yourself. And really all I was doing was insinuating, you know, that coitus was awesome, and they didn't realize it because they were like, you know, freshmen or middle schoolers. That was probably the most fun I ever had teaching.
So I played the trumpet. My brother was arguably the best trumpet player in the state of Florida. My brother and I never got along in high school. It was the competition thing. So like I told Sam, my goal was to be the worst trumpet player in the state since he was the best trumpet player in the state. And I also ran track and all that stuff. So we were practicing out on the track one day. And, you know, I don't know how to play the trumpet, and I don't want to play, and I can't stand it. So my brother goes, all right, Randy, run a lap. I said, sure. You know, I run cross country. So I ran a lap, and he goes, all right, now get back up here. I go, no, I'm good, and I kept running laps. So he sent the entire trumpet section, which was 16, well, 15 and me, all to attack me and beat me up.
Ha! You got beat up by a bunch of trumpet players?
But it was 15 of them. It's not just one. It, you know, if it would be different, if it was just my brother, I would have won that. But 15 against one, yeah, I lost.
So you got your ass kicked?
Yeah, exactly. And the difference between this fight, Gerald, and all these fights that we see on TV, like when all the ninjas come, I've always wondered why they all don't come at the same time, right? They all run one at a time. Well, they all came at one time, and yes, I lost.
They also had trumpets. Probably. So, you know, it's kind of
weapons. Speaking of trumpets, that's awesome. What's a typical fight week? Is there such a thing as a typical fight week?
I mean, you got to not eat as much and not have salt. And, you know, you watch the Food Network and just kind of like live vicariously through other people cooking and eating. So that part's usually the same. But, you know, I got nothing to complain about. My weight's really good. I'm very disciplined with all that stuff. The only thing now is, like, sometimes stuff can be up in the air. You know, the whole COVID thing is still going on. There's still people worried about it. The athletic commissions are trying to be as safe as they possibly can. So you always, you know, plan on fighting and hope that everyone's tests go through. But, you know, it's happened to me before. Crossing fingers won't happen to me or my opponent or anybody. You know, they get a positive test and that can throw a monkey wrench in plans. But other than that, it's pretty much business as usual.
Hey, Gerald, so... Listen, like, you know, a lot of the combat sport world, ATT gets a lot of love. Obviously, Winkle John, they get a lot of love. I was up in Milwaukee this summer. I had a chance to stop by the Duke's gym up there, your home gym. Talk about it for a minute. You know, give a little bit of love to Duke Rufus and the guys up there and your training partners about how special Milwaukee is and why you guys put out championship fighters out of that small gym in Milwaukee.
Oh, man, I was just talking to some teammates about this, and, you know, I try not to buy into, like, too much of who says what, but, you know, we see that stuff, and there's nothing against those gyms, right? They've got a lot of really tough competitors. They, you know, they do really good work. They've got very knowledgeable coaches, but, however, a lot of their stars, they come from other places. They're not homegrown. The biggest difference between us and them is, you know, basically all of our talent outside of maybe a few select names are all homegrown talent. Anthony and Sergio Pettis, both, it's the only gym they've ever trained as Rufus Sport. Myself, I trained at one other gym, really, and even besides that, the majority of my career has been at Rufus Sport, and even when I was at my original gym, we always cross-trained. So I'm truly, you know, Midwest homegrown fighter. Ben Askren, he's trained at other gyms before, and obviously he wrestled, but he's, you know, he's from Wisconsin. He's pretty much only trained at Rufus Sport. You know, even Alan Belcher, he came from down south. But, again, a lot of, you know, the bulk of his work and success came when he started working with us. So, you know, we can take people and help them get better. But I would say, you know, if you stack up guys that are in big shows and being successful, you know, person for person, we got to be up there with some of these big gyms with truly homegrown talent. And it's because, you know, our coaches know what they're doing. We have a specific system we work on, and, you know, we kind of tailor it to each individual, and it works. So, you know, the big gyms, they got a lot of bodies, but I don't see any place else producing homegrown champions and homegrown contenders the way Rufus Sport does.
And don't forget the former champ, Tyron Woodley, who's still active and in making a fight for himself. But I'll tell you from my personal experience, I came during the morning time. I was leaving town. I was with my family, and my daughter's with me. And I'll tell you, I've never been more welcome in a facility by people who didn't know who I was when I got there. Or when I left. they made me feel like part of the team. They gave me a Rufus Sport shirt to wear proudly, which I do often. And so I know personally like what that chemistry and that magic is of that facility, and there's no doubt that you guys are successful because of it.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that, man. And that's the thing. You know, we've got some big names, but we're still kind of a smaller gym, and, you know, everyone, we're in the Midwest. Everybody's really nice. You know, that's our whole thing. There's not a lot to do except drink beer, eat bratwurst, and train.
Drink beer. I don't drink beer. I love bratwurst. All right, so one out of three ain't bad.
Randy, when we
I don't want to train.
Let's move.
as long as the brats and everything are okay. Do you think, Gerald, that it's because it's like an old school gym, and now that it's, you know, it's popular, it's now cool, the sport, that you'll never see those types of gyms anymore?
I don't know that you'll never see them. It might be something where you see less of those small gyms having the success that maybe they had before. You know, the sports just evolved so much, and there's so many guys that are, you know, going to these bigger gyms earlier just because they recognize the names, which there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, it makes it a little bit harder for smaller gyms to be quite as successful. Just, you know, you need bodies. You can't have, you know, great champions with a limited number of bodies. You need at least one good training partner, not just one good coach. So that's a big thing. But, you know, I think we'll see it start to move more towards, like, you know, those will be like almost like big NFL teams or big NBA teams. You know, you kind of got to come out of one of those places, save for a couple, you know, a few outliers like Lucas Sport.
Sure. I'm curious, Panini just took over the trading card business from Topps. Do you collect, have you collected, your thoughts on the trading cards, and have you seen your Panini trading card?
I do remember signing for Topps before, and you know, I have a couple of those. I haven't seen the other ones, so I don't really collect them. I have a couple of mine because, you know, some people gave it to me, so I thought that was cool, but, you know, I didn't know that happened.
All right, so just like I told Sam, I'm friends with the PR guy at Panini, so I'll shoot an email. I'll get you guys both your cards, some boxes of cards. You know, play with them, flip them, put them in your bike if you still have one. I just went and bought a bicycle, wow. So I'm going to put something in there like we did back as a kid. But let's talk about Saturday. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
You know, it's a great challenge, man. He's good. He's a younger kid. He's doing really good. I think he's like an 11-13 fight win streak, undefeated in UFC. Fast, good head movement, good hands. You know, he's a good, tough opponent, and he's riding a good wave, and it's a great wave for me to come in and upset another young up-and-coming stud and, you know, really show people I'm ready to take that next step and start really making some waves in the division.
Do you look at that stuff when you find out or your management team, you know, gets a name from the UFC? I mean, do you look at backgrounds? Do you look at records? Do you look at performance of the nights and that kind of stuff? Or you just sign whatever is put in front of you?
I mean, look into it a little bit, but that does never really stop me from signing a name. And I always hear about these other guys like, oh, yeah, we got a list of names and we picked this one or whatever. I never get the list of names. They just say, hey, you're fighting this guy pretty much. And if, you know, if you want to wait, you're probably going to get somebody tougher, or, you know, we're not going to like it. So I kind of, you know, just try to be, you know, a company man in that sense, where I'm like, well, you want me to fight that guy? You want me to fight that guy? If I'm in the UFC, I'm ready to be the best, you know, in the world. So why would I avoid any fight? So I pretty much take what they give me.
All right. Craziest, strangest thing that ever happened to you involving you in the middle of a fight, whether it's, you know, in an octagon, you know, in a bar, whatever. It's just anything crazy that's ever happened in the middle one?
Nothing super crazy, but the strangest thing I think is on a local show, and get your beeper ready because I was hitting this guy and I've never had them make sound effects. It was almost like a cartoon because I got on top of him and I started wailing on him, and this guy was like, shit, ow, fuck, damn it, every time I hit him. And I was looking at the ref like, are you serious right now?
Like the old Batman.
Exactly.
Pow, zing, zam.
Perfect. With the Batman. That is awesome. What can the fans expect? They tune in Saturday night. You're entering the octagon. What can they expect to see when you guys go at it on Saturday night?
They can expect, you know, a lot of activity. You know, he fight moves a lot and fights at a pretty decent pace. I plan to bring the pressure. I plan to be in his face from bell to bell. I plan to keep a very, very high pace and just drown them. So, you know, pretty much for however long it takes, whether it's a full 15 minutes or 2 minutes like my last fight, my plan is to be 6 inches in front of his face, throwing leather and figuring out whether or not I can take his neck or knock him out.
What final question for you? What are you thinking? You know, you leave the back, you start to walk to the octagon. What are you thinking? Are you thinking? Are you trying not to think? What's going through your mind as you're getting ready to enter the octagon?
Honestly, I'm trying not to think. And once the fight starts, you're kind of just reacting. But if I'm being honest, the whole time walking out, you're like, bleep, 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 bleep. I'm really going to do this. Bleep, 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 bleep.
I'd like just the bleeps. I appreciate the bleeps. As always, Gerald, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck. Have fun on Saturday night. I know we got your address. We're going to send you another care package from Ape Man Strong, as well as a pair of earbuds from Jabra Electronics.
That's awesome, guys. I really appreciate it. Good talking to you again.
Same awesome. Here. We'll talk to you again soon. Gerald gets back into it. And before you cry, all right?
Oh, you got me.
I was supposed to do it sooner, but I got kind of caught up. There's a pair of your Jabra earbuds, because I've never seen anybody cry as much as you did the other day.
I love you.
Oh, I need my Jabra earbuds.
It's like Santa Claus, except you don't have your phonetic outfit on.
I love, I'll tell you what, I love these earbuds.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
I can't wait.
You know, it's, I know I use the over ear, the big ones on the plane. That's why I didn't know we were going down and about to die. But, you know, I use these. It blocks out sound. I use them when I cut the yard. So there's your pair of Jabra earbuds. So let's go hit. Let's blow through this break. You know, it's almost the top of the hour.
All right.
I'm sure you can bore the audience for another 5 or 6 minutes.
I bore people for a living, Jay.
You truly do.
This is my job. That's what I do.
Well, at least you have a job now.
That's true. It's true. It gives me something to do.
So we saw Ric Flair the other day.
We did.
I don't like that photo, just so you know.
Which photo?
I was nice enough to send it to you.
Well, because I did two things that you deliberately hate. On purpose.
Hug him?
Well, three things. there's three things, at least, in that photo that you hate.
You're in it.
Okay, there's four things. There's total four things thus far. Okay, one, I'm in the photo. Two, I'm hugging Ric Flair.
Oh, my God. You couldn't hug him any better.
Three, I have
And I like how you locked your arm on top of his shoulder. Hold on, let me finish.
Yes.
So you locked your arm on his left shoulder, so he only has his arm around you. Correct. He can't move his left hand to put it around me. I appreciate that.
I dominate fake wrestlers.
You did.
That's what I do.
Well,
I'm a real fighter. These are scripted actors. But, it's all about control. If you control the spine, Randy, in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you can't move if you lock the spine up.
He tried to leave you. He couldn't move.
That's because I have a death grip on Ric Flair. One, I was in the photo. Two, I have my arm around Ric Flair. Three, I have my kendama around my neck, which is jewelry.
I did like that you said, hey, do you want to wear it?
I tried to get him to wear it.
And he's like, what's wrong with you?
Well, I figured if I put it around his neck, he probably was going to get like upset and start throwing elbows or something.
It would still have been worth the photo.
Yeah, I mean, because then you're like throwing elbows and, you know.
No, because that stupid toy is around Ric Flair's neck.
I know. And then four.
So start back at the beginning. So one.
So one, I was in the photo. Two, I had grip control and spinal lock on Ric Flair.
Yes, you did.
Three, I had a kendama that I was trying to put around his neck as a piece of jewelry instead of the gold necklaces. And then number four, I made a fist with my fist to symbolize that I'm a part of the combat sport world, not part of the fake wrestler club.
Interesting.
Yes, they were done deliberately, just to piss you off.
Now, will you say all that to Rick next time he calls and you run over there as fast as you can?
No question. He knows that it's fake.
Well, of course he knows. It's not fake. It's scripted.
It's fake.
You're not allowed to say that.
It's not real.
It's scripted.
It's unreal. Unreal is some of the fights we saw in BKFC 20, though.
There were some good fights. Let me ask you this, and I hate to ask you a serious question.
Yes.
All right, so even though I'm still going to comment on it, I try not to comment on fights that I don't watch, which I think the judges judged fights they didn't watch. But that's another story. There were some bad judges.
That's why you don't leave it in the judges' hands.
I agree. There were some fights that I believed, and I'm normally saying, if you don't watch from ding ding to ding ding and watch all 2 minutes in BKFC, that you really shouldn't respond.
Yes.
Okay? But I think there was a few of the fights that were so dominated, the 30 seconds I didn't see, it's impossible that they did enough damage enough strikes, enough whatever in those 30 seconds I might not have watched to switch the fight. I believe there was a good three, maybe four fights that were judged improperly.
Well, I have an insight to that theory, and I was sitting next to the judge, like literally on the steps to the ring.
I saw there was a couple times you were sitting on the judge's lap.
I was on his lap a few times. He never gave me Jabra headphones, but I asked for them. But there's a pole for the turnbuckle for the corner that was in the judge's view. So the whole fight, he had to duck to the left and to the right around this pole as the fight moved around the squared circle to keep eyes on the competition. So, yeah, in between those blind spots as they're moving and you throw a punch in the middle of the ring, he couldn't see who landed anything just because of the position of where the table was set up and the position of the ring.
But that still happens as a judge here in the state of Florida. I get that a lot anyway because, like, where I'm sitting, if they're on the ground and facing the other side of the fence, uh-huh. I can't see what's going on.
Sure.
You can only judge what you see.
That's true.
But there were some fights that, again, I didn't watch the whole 2 minutes. I shouldn't even be saying this. But there was a couple that I thought easily the other guy. There was fights that I watched as a fan, and I've always said this. You can't watch a fight as a fan. You have to eyes ahead, watch every. That's why it drives me crazy when people, you know, at fights, they're typing. They look down, they type. They look up, they look down and type. They miss things.
Right, sure.
You know, so I can see where, you know, some fighters, you know, get upset. But let's talk about the main event. I'll stay away from the co-main event for a while. The main event, it appeared there was some bad blood.
Okay.
We've dealt with Reggie Barnett. Reggie Barnett comes across a little, whatever word you want me to use.
He is the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde persona.
Which you have to have.
He's selling the bad boy, like the most dominant, most confident, most arrogant. I'm the champion. Even if I don't have the belt, I'm the guy.
Johnny Bedford's comment was, Reggie Barnett is the best fighter in BKFC that will never win a title.
That's probably true.
Well,
unless
Johnny leaves.
Right. Well, I mean, that win's sitting there if Johnny leaves. I mean, then it may be Reggie, but I mean.
Well, it'll be interesting what that win does because Johnny wants that fight. Johnny Bedford, who was victorious Friday night, it wasn't even a close fight.
It was not.
You know, Johnny Bedford knocked Reggie Barnett down within the first 20 seconds, stuck his hands up like the fight was over. What I did like, and typically I don't like what I'm about to say because we've talked about it. I dislike when there's a lot of talk and a lot of bad blood and they hate each other and blah, 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 trying to sell the fight. I don't necessarily think Reggie Barnett and Johnny Bedford were trying to sell that fight. I don't think they cared about selling the fight. They were fighting for the title.
Sure.
Johnny wanted to fight Dat. Dat wanted blah, you know, whatever those reasons are, and he may get that fight back. Johnny Bedford said he will go up and wait to fight Dat. He will go down and wait to fight that. It doesn't matter. But in this particular case, because we do know Reggie Barnett a little bit, I liked when the trash talking was even during the fight, even when he stuck his hands up after he got knocked down, when that fight was over, they hugged, all that good stuff that we know mixed martial arts was in the early days.
Sure. And look, Reggie is a man of faith. I mean, so you had two different sides. You have the trash talking to sell tickets and get the fan hype and to get the excitement. But he's a very God-fearing man. And he's always talking about God and his blessings and his life and the things that have come from the sport, such as having his own gym and supporting his family and all the good things that come about that. So you gotta be a fan of Reggie Barnett. I'm a fan of Reggie Barnett. It wasn't his night. You know, Johnny was the better fighter that night, and he has the titles.
I went into the back. You told me that Johnny had his own little room. So I went back there.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with him, and we were just talking, and just to see how relaxed he was.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could see his demeanor, and everything was focused. But we were talking about other stuff. We were talking about, you know, band. I made fun of you. He liked that.
That's
I kind of loosened him up a little bit.
Sure.
He was a different guy, you know, Friday night. He was motivated and determined to get back what he felt was still his and now is, you know, in those belts.
I think the way, you know, a lot of guys talk about how all the hard work's done in fight camp and
the fight's the reward.
Fight's the reward,
yeah.
And you're just collecting your trophy of the fruits of your labor. So he did. I mean, he killed it. He earned it. He deserves it. So congrats.
When we come back, I got to tell you a funny story about mats. I know you're throwing mats now at BKFC.
I am. I'm the mat guy.
Wait till I tell you this story. It is hilarious, and it involves Matt, the company, Billboard
Mats,
and the Bedford family. So we'll get to that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. A great story about Billboard Mats, the Bedford family, and throwing mats when we return.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Joanna Andrzejczyk, the UFC strawweight, and you are listening to the Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.